Today's the last Sunday in the series from the first chapter of Romans, the first seven verses, talking about the things that are declared from the resurrection of Christ. And so our main text today is from Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 27. And I titled this, "Those Who Believe and Obey Belong to Christ." And that's an important thing to keep in mind. We are called to obey. We think of the end of Matthew, the Great Commission. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth." That means there's no place we can go where Jesus is not the authority, the ultimate authority. And so he said, "You know, make disciples of all nations, immersing them into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you to the very end of the age." You've heard me refer to that many, many times. But the problem is that much of Christendom through the centuries, just like the Israelites before us, have not done that. It's easy. Satan likes for us to think, "Oh, well, we're special. Yeah, I'm a Christian now, so I'm good to go. And so I got my get out of hell free card. And I can wave that on Judgment Day, and I'm good to go." But that's far from the truth. Because one of the things that the church through the centuries has not learned is learning from the history. You know, like they say, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. Israelite was continually unfaithful. Israel was supposed to be God's people. And time again, they took that for granted instead of thinking about the responsibility that they had. And so they would be punished time and time again. And so for the church, we're told, even when you read the book of Hebrews, we're to learn from biblical history to not repeat it. Because God has called us to believe Him and obey. A lot of people believe in God. A lot of people believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't believe God. And there's the rub. You know, it's one thing to believe in something, but something else to actually believe. Paul wrote in Romans 16, beginning in verse 25, "Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." Notice he talks about the gospel, that's the good news, the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, meaning the Old Testament background, that's the foundation for the preaching about Jesus, and thus the foundation of the good news, the gospel. It's been revealed now through the prophetic writings by the command of God. Elsewhere, Scripture, you know, Paul wrote, all Scripture is God breathed. It all comes from God. Jude said that our faith has been once and for all delivered to the saints. That is, what we find in Scripture is the faith that we are supposed to have. But the problem is, people like to be independent, and so, well, I have my faith and you have your faith. It doesn't work that way. Our faith must be growing in relationship with the knowledge, the truth of the faith once and for all delivered to us. The very words of God by which we can have this relationship with Jesus Christ. My relationship, your relationship with Jesus is not our doing, it's His. He lays the groundwork, He is the authority. Just like for a child growing up at home, as we all did once, we had a relationship with our parents, but they were our parents, and they had the final word. And we were expected as their children to be obedient. And now as parents, as grandparents, we still expect children to be obedient, don't we? Now we understand when they have their moments where they're not. But the whole point is, in family, family works well when children are generally obedient. Love to be part of the family. Want to please mom and dad. And that's the relationship God has made possible for every human being around this world, that all might believe. The gospel message is for everyone, no matter where they're from. So that all could believe and that all could obey Him. That's why, you know, God also said that He doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That all might believe and all might obey Him. Jew and Gentile alike. And we talked about that last week. Christendom, when we look around our world today, just here in America, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there are over 400 recognized denominations. 400. And you talk to some people and say, oh, well, you know, they have their tradition, I have my tradition. But it's all wrong. When you read in Paul's writings to the Corinthian church, you know, the people there were choosing up sides. Well, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, I follow Peter. And Paul said, that is wrong. Now, Peter, Apollos, Paul, they were all preaching the same thing. But it's not true today. Not everybody's preaching the same thing. Not everyone's teaching the same thing. And so the challenge for us as Christians is to make sure that what we are believing is what God said. Not what some popular preacher says, not what some denomination might say, not what some priest might say, but what does God say? We listen to people preach, we listen to people teach, but we must always check them out. Must always check them out. The citizens of Berea, when they heard Paul preach, that's what they did. They went to the Old Testament scriptures to find out if what Paul said was true. And he called them noble. We must be noble as well. We must know the truth and live by it. But how do we do that? Well, it should be obvious. We look to the Word of God. Every one of us should be students of the Word of God. We should want to know what God says and be willing to live by it and believe according to Him. But the problem is, we don't always believe like what we sang this morning. We sang, Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. But do we do that? Or do we challenge the wisdom of God and say, well, God, you know, this is a new age. We're smarter now. People are smarter. We're wiser. Sad to say, I've heard preachers say that when they reject certain portions of Scripture because they buy into the wisdom of this age. But Scripture warns us on page after page against that. And even for us who are faithful, the question is, am I really faithful? And there's the challenge for us. Because we can get so comfortable being Christians that we can let things slide and fall into bad patterns. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, the Apostle Paul wrote, Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. You see, Paul here was telling us that as Christians, we need to fight the good fight and keep the faith. We need to be growing and learning. We need to be training in righteousness so that we are growing in our relationship with God and increasingly doing more and more of the right things, believing the right things, saying no to the things of this world that are wrong. Because the point is, we are supposed to be striving towards something. If anyone could sit back and say, hey, I've got it made, wouldn't you think it would be the Apostle Paul? He's presented in Scripture, really, as this ideal apostle. And yet he himself admitted his own sinfulness, his own struggles. And even here he says, I beat my body and make it my slave. The words there are ongoing. He says, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to always do the right thing. It's a struggle to always think the right thing, to react to people the right way. It's a struggle to deal in this world, but I work at it. I beat my body. I make myself a slave. That's how Paul looked at his own life. I need to be true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because notice what he says. So that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. See, Paul isn't saying, oh, well, what if? He's just saying, I could be. If I don't work at this, if I don't endeavor to be true to the Lord, if I don't endeavor to grow and mature as a Christian, I may be disqualified for the prize for which Christ has called me. See, it's too easy to sit back and be comfortable with sin, but as Christians, we're not called to be comfortable with sin, but rather to be troubled by it. And if we're troubled by sin, then we want to look to God and find what God says, to find His forgiveness, find His grace, and then do the right things. Train ourselves to do the right things, to believe the right things. That's why God gives us grace. Grace isn't the freedom to go back and sin some more. Freedom is to find the help to do the right thing and to develop that pattern in our living. And it's not always easy. It's not always pleasant. When you use his examples there of running in a race, someone, they go into strict training. Well, I've never done strict training for racing, but I've known people who have. And you know, sometimes when you're around them, they're kind of annoying because they're watching what they eat. They get up and they exercise and they run and they make you guilty for not doing it too. But they do it because they're focused on the prize. And there's the thing. Are we focused on the prize? Do we care what other people think about us? If we make other people uncomfortable, so what? What they're recognizing is that, well, I should be doing that. But if we say, oh, well, I won't do it because I don't want to make you uncomfortable, all we're doing is saying sin is okay. And we are not called to do that. We are called to strive to follow Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, Paul wrote, not that I have already obtained all this, talking about being a full-fledged, successful Christian. He says, that I've already become perfect. I've not done that. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul uses a lot of words there, but they're all fascinating. He's recognizing, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm an apostle, but I've not obtained all that the Lord has promised me. I've not obtained all that I need to be as a human being, as a Christian. I'm not yet perfect. But this I do, I take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. That is, God gave me through Jesus Christ, by His grace, my salvation. But now I've got to take hold of it. I've got to grasp it for all it's worth, to not let go, to cherish it as the most precious gift. This is my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I am living this life by God's grace, but striving to be worthy of it, striving to please the Lord and be the kind of person He wants me to be. He says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. That is, I've not reached perfection yet. I'm not all that I need to be. But one thing I do, I forget about the past. I don't worry about my failures. I don't worry about past struggles. What I do is I strain toward what is ahead. I think it's interesting, he uses the word strain. I strain. I work hard to look ahead toward the goal. I look at the challenges before me and I see the potential problems, and I see the disagreements that people won't agree with me. I see that people want me to go along with their sin. I see that people want to reject the Word of God and that I'm going to suffer for it. And if you've read in the book of Acts, you know, Paul suffered a great deal. You read in his writings, Paul suffered a great deal for Christ. In fact, when God called Ananias to go and speak to Saul at the time, he said, I must show him how much he must suffer for me. Paul knew that was all facing him. He'd gone through so much already, had more to do, but serving Christ, being true to him, and helping others to be true to him was worth the cost. And so he strained ahead. He said, I press on toward the goal. The goal is eternal life with Jesus Christ. The goal is to be the best person I can be. And it's an ongoing battle. Because if I stop straining for it, then I stop being righteous. Because once I stop, you know what do they say? Idle hands are what? Yeah. I strive forward toward the win, to win the goal, to win the prize for which Christ has called me. You know, yeah, God's given us eternal life. But the point is, it's got to be lived, not just then, but now. We need to work and grow and mature in God's Word now, looking forward to eternity, anticipating when we finally do reach perfection. God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus, but you and I, we're not there yet. And so we cannot give up. We cannot sit back and just say, oh, well, I'm good to go. No, I need to keep working on myself because the temptations are there. And you know, like anything, if you stop learning, if you stop relearning from God's Word, then you're going to be influenced by the world. You know, none of us would go to a medical doctor who had not opened a medical book in 20 years. We wouldn't be able to rely on his expertise, would we? We wouldn't be able to rely upon his memory. We wouldn't be able to rely upon him having learned the newest techniques. And likewise, as Christians, it's too easy to sit back and say, well, I rely upon what I learned when I was a kid. Now, I know the Bible stories. I know the Ten Commandments. But when it comes down to it, has it made a difference? Oh, I go to church. But has it made a difference in your life? Are you walking closer to the Lord today than you were a year ago? Or 5 years ago? Or 10 years ago? Can you look at yourself and say, I have grown, I've matured. My understanding, my comprehension of the Lord and His kingdom and how the world is has grown and deepened. Or am I still where I was 20 years ago? Just relying upon what I learned as a kid or a young person. You see, we're not to sit back, but we're to strive. I think that's one of the differences in our world today, where sin runs so rampant and so many churches and individual Christians buy into so much of the sin that's in this world, that we've forgotten to learn the lesson from the first century. The early church, when they heard the proclamation, the Christians, people became Christians, they wanted to learn. Initially, they met every day to learn from the apostles. And as they scattered, they took the Word of God with them and shared it with people. And the world began to change, because more and more people were hearing about Jesus Christ. And when persecution broke out, Christians were not afraid to be fed to the lions. Well, I'm sure they were afraid, but I mean, they were not willing to give up. They remained true to Jesus. Why? Because they believed in Jesus. And they wanted to be faithful to Him. People were wrapped up in animal skins and watered down. And then as they dried, the people were crushed to death. Others were put on poles and covered in tar and lit to light the arenas at night. And they endured all of that. Why? Because they believed Jesus and they trusted Him and they obeyed through their faithfulness. Today, we're tempted with, oh, keep your faith to yourself, or we may not like you. Keep your faith to yourself. Don't talk about Jesus. You might offend somebody. Oh, don't talk about what the Bible says, because that's just your opinion. You know, other people have their own opinions. We don't want to alienate or offend anybody. And so the temptation today is to not strive. You know, to not strain forward. Let's just sit back and keep it to ourselves. After all, I'm a Christian. Who cares about the world? You know? Many try to rationalize, oh, God's a God of love. He would never send anybody to hell. But the only people who say that are people who've never really read the Word of God. God holds us to a high standard. And it's because of that high standard that Jesus Christ came into this world and died on the cross for us. But that didn't mean He came to make life easy. Even He said He didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Life is going to be tough, and we're going to face opposition as we endeavor to stay true to His Word. But the challenge is always going to be, like it's always been. And unfortunately, a majority will always go to follow the ways of the world instead of the ways of God's Word. But what they forget is, as this passage ends, He says, you know, the whole point of believing and obeying is to give to the only wise God glory forever through Jesus Christ. The only wise God. Only God is wise. And yet, mankind has always had the audacity to say, oh, but I know better. Oh, but I know different. Or, oh, things have changed. But we know from Scripture that God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, which means His Word is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He relates to us and challenges us and leads us and comforts us. And He says, persevere, persevere, overcome by being faithful to the Word. That's the whole point of the book of Revelation, by the way. That's the whole point. Be faithful to Christ. And the way to be faithful is to be a student of His Word. Allow the Spirit to teach you and to help you to be faithful to what you're learning from the Word. Not just part of it, but all of it. Because you take one part out and throw it away, you diminish the whole. God's Word, God's great gift to us through Jesus Christ. Let us glorify God by our own lives, by our own desire to say, Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Right now we're going to sing a song called Just As You Are. Hear the Spirit call, come just as you are. You know, we come just as we are. But notice the song, just like Jesus said, come follow me. The whole point is, come just as you are. Come. He wants us right now the way we are. But He doesn't want us to come to remain as we are. He wants us to come and be willing to change. To be willing to mate into the people He wants us to be. To be the people set free from sin. Set free from all the wiles and the cunning of man as we see it all around us. But to know the truth and be grounded in that truth so that we can have the abundant life that He's promised us. So no matter who you are, where you're at in your own life, you come just as you are and allow Jesus to change you. Let's stand together, shall we?